Mystic Fix, a program for the whole being, with Julia Gordon-Bramer on News Talk STL.
Hello and welcome to Mystic Fix. I'm Julia Gordon-Bramer, author, scholar of mysticism, and professional tarot card reader. Today's episode is in alignment with the Temperance tarot card. Temperance is about good health, being in flow, and balance and moderation in all things. And on that subject, I'm really happy to introduce my friend Jennifer Jarvis Hirt today. H-I-R-T, Hirt, not like the word. Jennifer and I met when I spoke to the Universal Connections Group a year or so ago, and she joined my A Course in Miracles workshop that I lead. I have been fascinated with her sacred smoke and rituals business, as well as of her journey of self-healing cancer. Plus, I love her Maine accent. Jennifer is an expert in spiritual herbalism, medicinal use of plants, intuitive healing, rituals, harmonizing with seasonal energetics, food, cosmos and plants. Oh my gosh, it goes on and on. Maybe I'll save some of it for a little later, actually. You do a lot, and it's about incorporating magic and mysticism with the body, with the physical body. People tend to think they're two different worlds, right?
Yeah, they do. And it's not. Actually, it's an integration of the physical and spiritual.
You had a healing journey. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So my healing journey began after I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and then the surgeries had a little bit of a botch in the treatment. It was extremely painful and crippling for me at that time. So I went through a spiritual journey of going into a very mystic place with, ironically, plants. Mm-hmm. So I went through this journey with plants, and then I came out, and once I was able to start moving around a little bit, that I started to ask myself, like, okay, you know, I don't know what to do with my life right now. Like, I don't know what I was going to look like. I didn't know what my life was going to look like. And there were things that I didn't have control over. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I started to focus on, what I did have control over. So turning to Mother Nature and turning and creating like tiny rituals personal to me, mm-hmm, really gave me that sense of control. It reduced stress and it brought me into this place of empowerment.
What called you to that? I mean, have you always just loved plants and they kind of just started speaking to you? Or?
That's a great question. So growing up, I was a wild young woman. Like, I ran around barefoot. My aunts had farms, you know, and when we were roaming in the streets, like, we would pick wild blueberries that were in like little pockets of forest where in our neighborhood. And then my aunt was a forager. So I grew up having these influences, but it was really what happened, that spiritual journey that I went through, this initiation with the plants. I went into this place and the plants carried me. And then when I was able to like get up off the couch and start to move around independently, the first thing I noticed was, oh, how unusual. There are these plants that never grew before, like pokeweed and mullein, mugwort, that just started to appear on my land. And here I am in suburbia in this house. And I'd lived in this house at that time for like 12 years.
Like the earth was offering these to you to help you with your healing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there were some that I was just vibrationally drawn to. Uh-huh. And so I had to ask myself, like, what was real? Because the chemo and the pain meds and the antibiotics was, to me, it was like killing me. Like, I could feel just like something being sucked out and my bones getting weak and...
Sure,
no.
What's totally toxic.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So inside it was like, okay, when it came to like what is real, and it was the bottom line, it came down to Mother Nature, the seasons, the cycles, and rituals. And that gave me access to information. So the other part of that is I went into my lineage, and I started to look like, well, what did my ancestors use, right? Because I knew very little, close to nothing. No, I knew your basic, like lavender was great for inflammation. Uh-huh. But this mugwort stuff, like, what do I do with that? You know, so I started to question. And so, like, connecting to the Celtic lineage, I started to notice that the herbs that I was drawn to were aligned with that. The herbs really started to get me to the point of healing. And I started to like think, okay, well, the plant cells are 98% like ours. So that was going to be the fastest to come into my body and assimilate and change what
was
going.
Wait. You're saying that 98% of a plant cells look like human cells?
Yes, they do.
And that's amazing to me.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Right?
Okay. Do go on.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. Like what came back from biology lab in college? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden was right here. So it's funny, like what deep wisdom gets activated, right, in these times when we're just blank and we got no interference and we start using nature and like these little tiny rituals to keep anchor into that time and that space and really harvest the wisdom that's there in that moment. So working with those herbs and realizing, okay, the plant cells are like ours, it's the fastest to assimilate, and then I wanted things to circulate throughout my body as fast as they could so I could eliminate the toxins. Mm-hmm. And then that would replace, you know, the toxicity was getting out, and then all of these plants were able to come in. So that's how actually I grew into finding nature as a way, because no matter where I was, you know, and everything was in the details, like this herb and that herb and combining in them in a way where they were harmonizing with one another, and they would then come in and heal the organs and give my body the energy that it needed. So it was really like they just supported me, and no matter where I was at, they met me there.
And when you say they met you, were you researching, or this is just a very spiritual kind of feeling it through?
That's a great question. So it's a little of both. First, it started off completely 100% intuitive. Uh-huh. Like, I was like, ooh, this plant, you know, and then Googling it.
Uh-huh, sure.
Right? Like,
and then what it is. And, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, uh-huh. What it is. What is it used for? And then I was also looking into, like, what's the spiritual aspect? What's the folklore to this? And how is this used? And how do I integrate that into my healing? So it was both spiritual and physical. Mm-hmm. And then that grew into me getting in this space of going, oh, let me find an herb store. And I go to the herb store, and I'm just like looking what's on the shelf. And I'm like, well, that one there. And then I wouldn't know, you know, or I'd ask, like, what is that for? And then I'd just take like my little handful of stuff, and then I'd bring it home, and I'd spend time with it. Mm-hmm. And then starting to make these like little concoctions and put them together. So like flower essences, tinctures, tisanes. And tisanes is just no tea, no caffeine. Uh-huh. So it's how things used to be
right,
back
then.
Which I
just learned today because you gifted me one.
Yeah, the ancestor wisdom, which is great. Oh, you're going to love that one.
Oh, I can't wait. So, you know, I think, have you ever met a plant you don't like?
Yes.
I don't like poison ivy.
Who does, right?
I see no reason for it to be on the planet. No creatures eat it. It does nothing for this world.
That's interesting. You know, I've never researched that one. I didn't know that, so you taught me something today.
It's
a
vile scourge, and I think came straight from Satan. Thank you very much.
That. Oh, wow. Well, no, the ones I worked with, I believe, are divine. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is the first plants that I really was drawn to, you know, other than what introduced themselves to me in the front of my house, were bane herbs, poisonous plants. Mm-hmm. And in this journey that I went through where there was this garden and different plants were there and present, I really believe the initiation came from having the poison of chemotherapy coming through the body. And so here's this poison that's supposed to heal you, right? And then looking at all of these herbs like mandrake, belladonna, henbane.
Oh, so you found natural forms of chemo, basically, is what you're saying.
I'm not sure if they're, well, they do have antiviral, anti-cancer properties, which is peculiar. But I use them energetically through flower essences. So each one of those have like their own spiritual purpose. The personality of the plant really like lends to the energy and then how we can integrate that through our use in like every day. So like part of my self-care ritual was like, you know, getting that point, getting up, looking at the stone or looking at the candle, and then begin to use Mother Nature and integrate that into my healing. And Bay Nerves was really like the most potent ones for me.
And so. I presume you're like journaling all of this? Cause
nope.
No? You just have a good memory?
Very, very. This is a thing that to me became really amazing through this process is it's cellular communication. Mm-hmm. It's unforgettable. The memories that are here, it's because it's stored in my body and I can access this information at any time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
So how did you start doing this for others?
Yes, thank you for asking. So I got little bullet points here because it's so big that the strengthening myself in this each day, that it came to this point where I got this feeling like this is my purpose. This is what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life, right? So I was like, all right, well, let me introduce this to my friends. Let me introduce this to my family. So I made little ritual kits with a general guide at that point and made up some little tisanes and flower essences, tinctures, I mean, ointments. It was all the full apothecary, but they were small batched. And then I started to gift them. And then the feedback and the change and the transformation that was happening in their lives really let me know that something undeniable was there, that this is something that I could offer to others. And then I started to think, it was like, wow, what is this going to do for them? How could this have some kind of positive impact in their life? And what will their life look like when they start integrating these, using these herbs and the candles and the tinctures and just creating tiny rituals where they can anchor into that space and that time and that place and that moment, and whatever is happening, it's all going to be supportive. And I just wondered what it was going to be like for other people to experience that, because that's the way I experienced it.
So people can contact you and get a very customized kind of, what would you call this, treatment, system, ritual?
Yeah, definitely ritual. Uh-huh. So anchoring ritual into daily life is really the goal here. So having small batch botanicals, everything is intuitively crafted and sourced locally. Like I'm growing some of my own, and then I got a couple herb farmers right here in Missouri, one in Wright City, one just outside of Troy, and then actually one in Maine, because I'm like keeping it close to home and bringing in my roots. So we're keeping it pure, we're keeping it close to home, we're keeping it small batch, and really goes to our values of that, you know, everybody has this innate connection to nature. And we have this inherent wisdom, and it's infinite. And we also have our inherited practices. Mm-hmm. So what I discovered through rituals, like, hey, these are these practices that I can create for myself, but also my ancestors have. And the more I do them, the better things got in my daily life.
Yeah.
So this Very is what cool. we get to offer to others.
Very cool. So how do people reach you, Jennifer, if they want to get one of your, well, if they want to talk to you, if they want to get one of your candles, one of your teas, one of your rituals?
Yeah, great. Thank you. So right now we are still in production, but if you go to sacredsmokeandrituals.online, there's a landing page where you can actually subscribe and sign up to be able to get notified, to be some of the first to be notified about our next small batch launch. And we do have a launch celebration coming up around the end of summer where everybody is going to be able to get a chance to access what we have here.
Awesome. And you do other things too, other groups. I mean, I know you celebrate Beltane and some of the moons and that sort of thing. So people can probably find you on Facebook for that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you can find me on Facebook. So my personal page on Facebook is Jennifer Jarvis, and you can go there, and that's where we get a little more up close and more intimate and personal.
You're a beautiful writer. I mean,
you really
have such... considering I'm an author and I read your posts and I feel like, God, I don't put any effort into this stuff. But, really, really lovely. Well, thank you so much for your time. I wish we had more. But we will be excited to see your products coming up and maybe bring you on again once the webpage is fully launched.
I would love to do that. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. And we're back with Mystic Fix. I'm Julia Gordon Bramer. We just heard from Jennifer Jarvis talking about sacred smoke and rituals. Next up is Reverend Wendy Allen talking about her book, Lighting the Cauldron, Embracing Nature, Spirituality in Our Modern World. Hello, Wendy.
Hello, Julia. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, you bet. You bet. I'm very excited about your book. I've just begun it. And what a prologue. You know, you have the evolution, the literal evolution of man from form, you know, and it's very spiritual and ethereal. And then it kind of diminishes with progress, right? I've just been skimming the book and I've yet to dig into it, but I do want to talk to you about that. You are in alignment with each show I'm doing is in alignment with a tarot card.
Mm-hmm.
Your show is with the Temperance card. And I thought, how perfect with that big cauldron that the angel is in front of.
Yeah.
And you're relighting the cauldron. And, you know, I think of the cauldron as, of course, it's alchemy. It's the synthesis of all kinds of different things for a greater thing. Why did you pick the cauldron image?
Well, it definitely came to me when I was writing my book as the image of it. First of all, it's a powerful symbol in many cultures. You know, it's a cross-cultural symbol, and as you said, it could stand for like that chalice that the angel in that card brings, which I was actually looking over the meaning of the card being like synthesizing everything we are and like kind of, you know, as a way for us to evolve really and to move into a new time. So I thought that was a great card that you matched me with. Thank you. I'm a big fan of the tarot. I talk about it a little bit, but I picked the cauldron because to me, it's a perfect symbol of the earth herself. Like she has her belly, her center is like the cauldron that lights us, that gives us life. You know, of course we get life from the sun and, you know, scientifically we can go into all that, but I believe that, you know, without her inner warmth in her belly, you know, we wouldn't be here. And, it really connects to like Carriage Wind, which was one of the goddesses I dedicated to a very long time ago. And in Lukumi, in the tradition that I've been practicing as well as Wicca, it is the cauldron of transformation. Like as a cauldron symbolizes the warriors. So the three Orishas are Osun, Ogun, and Ochosi. And they are the ones that kind of like you get when you make that commitment to take the road, to the new road of the tradition of Lukumi. You know, you receive that after it's like the second initiation. So In other traditions, it's like in the East, I learned that there's different cauldrons for like the belly cauldron is also the place where you hold your chi or your energy. You know, in the East, they have the different
The
points to that.
chakras.
Yeah, they're the chakras, right, in the Hindu system, but also in the Eastern and the Taoist system, they're called they're different cauldrons. Like the one in your belly is the one
Oh.
your energy.
Oh,
So,
how
like
interesting.
I said, it's a cauldron is a symbol of transformation, and my book is about how can we transform from this period of where we've lost our connection to the earth and to nature, and you know we've kind of went so far. And of course, technology, I'm not going to be against it. I'm not saying we should go live in the woods, and even though I do live in the woods, but I have a nice comfortable house that I live in, you know, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. But I think we need to connect the past, the what's worked for us when we were more at one with nature, to the future, which is, you know, we have to do something differently because the way we're living is destructive, not only to the earth, but also to other species and to ourselves.
I found it interesting. You talk about a lot of things. So you mentioned Wicca there, but you write about the shamanic inheritance. And so do you consider yourself a shaman? Do you consider yourself a witch? I know you're a reverend. Are you all of those things?
Thank you. That is actually the answer. When I have been on a spiritual path my whole life. You know, I was born very interested in everything that there ever was mystical. And I discovered Wicca when I was a teenager. So I've been practicing that for a long time. But over time, I've really been open to learning about different mystical and spiritual paths that I've discovered. In my book, it kind of goes through 10 different ones that are all really earth-based and nature-based.
So it's your
And
journey
it's been
then.
my journey, yeah. And I initiated not only in Wicca years ago, but which I do consider myself a witch, but later on I discovered Lukumi, which is from Cuba. It's an Afro-Caribbean tradition. I'm Puerto Rican on my mother's side, so I had an interest in that lineage. And it was something that was practiced in around the people that I lived among when I was living in New York City. You know, it was like, wow, what is this and what is this about? And what people really think about, like from the surface, it looks very Catholic. You know, you have the different saints and everything. But underneath that was a connection to the Orisha. And the Orisha came from Africa. And the tradition itself is a, it is, they call it from the diaspora. So it is a tradition that where the Orisha traditions from the Yoruba people rooted into the New World. And it's very popular, and it's a beautiful tradition that in the Caribbean area people practice, but it's also like it has different forms in other forms of Latin America. Like in
But
South America, they call it Candomblé.
the Orishas are in voodoo also, correct?
The voodoo and the different voodoo traditions, because there's different ones, they actually refer to the spirits as Loa. You know, there are some Orishas that have cognates in
Yeah, I thought they were
the
the same
traditions.
thing, but no.
Yeah, it's a little different. It's a little
Okay.
different, but it's a similar system. It's like a sister tradition. So, like for instance, Ogun, who I mentioned, who's the Orisha of work and the Orisha of how humans can it's the Orisha of hunting. It's a of not hunting, of like butchering really, and transformation. It's how the Orisha that kind of helped us civilize really is, as well as like metal working. You know, he's a very hard working Orisha. In voodoo, he's called Ogun. So it is very, there are some that appear in both traditions.
Yeah, I guess what enchants me about your book, and maybe because I'm a similar thinker, is the commonality across many different faiths, all rooted. I think I had a real wake-up moment way back in the early 2000s when that movie Zeitgeist came on, and they sort of, did you ever see Zeitgeist?
No, it's I'm gonna have to put
Oh,
it on my list
yeah,
here.
you'll have to check it out. Just the beginning of it shows the same story across, every ancient religion, everyone, and it's just united in the earth and the heavens, you know, what stars we could see and the seasons and the, yeah. In honor of you and the subject, I wore my witch shirt.
Oh, I love it. Very cute.
And it's funny because I'm not a practicing Wiccan. As a tarot card reader, I kind of get that label though, you know?
Yeah. I think okay. There's Wiccans and there's witches. There's many witches today that don't consider themselves Wiccan. And you know, so, you know, I think it's a great term though. You said, what do I consider as myself, a shaman or a witch? So shaman to me, having an undergraduate degree in anthropology, it's a great word as a small letter S to describe a certain, role that appears in most of these indigenous and nature-based traditions. It's a person that, you know, has different functions, and it's not really like the priest may have come out of it because they work with the spirit world and they do prayers and, you know, like it evolved out of it. And they also do some over time, some priests would advise the leaders of the tribe. But a shaman actually was more like a healer, a mental counselor for people, you know, somebody that could be a bridge between this world and the spirit world, this world and the ancestor world, you know, mm-hmm. and that would bring wisdom back. And I think it's a word that, like, it's from the one of the traditions that I speak about. One of my friends, a good friend of mine, she's actually from the Turkish people. From the people of the Caucasus, and that's the language that word comes from. But as she said in her interview, and she is a shaman, it's a type of way that appears in many different faiths. So I think for us, for people that practice modern neo-pagan traditions, yeah, I think witch is a good word for it.
So what you're saying then is any bridge. So me as a tarot card reader could be a bridge. John the Baptist in the Bible could be a bridge, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Any kind of mystics. Human touching into the spiritual world to bring back a message.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So that like I said, it's a term for a great role, but there are people that are in the lineage that has shaman as their title for that. But okay. Like there's other traditions that they have their own words for it, you know. So for me, you know, Wicca works, witch works. In Lukumi, there's different people that specialize in different things. You know, there's that the priests in the tradition are known as Babalosha or Ialoshas, and Ialosha is a mother of the Orishas, and Babalosha is the father of. So godfathers and godmothers. And then there's Oriates. And these are beautiful traditions because they have to remember so many things. It's like by memory and by a reading. As somebody who reads cards, you would really be like probably fascinated with how deep they delve into their different systems, their different divination systems, which is also a function of this role, is that people have used divination. So it's kind of like the people that have the direct contact to spirit is something that is across the board, as you said, in universal,
in all cultures,
across the board, people that have a direct contact that seek it out and can use it to help others.
Yeah. Holy people, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the things I loved about your book was that, you know, my show is relatively new. So in alignment with the tarot cards course, the tarot starts at zero, the Fool, and your card number 14. So you're the 15th episode. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I loved is that almost every chapter touches on a previous guest of mine. So we had the shamans, we've had the astral travel. We're, you know, looking into the elements and the spirit and meditation and energy healing. You know, it's kind of all coming together in your book, which is really fun.
Oh, how nice. I'm so glad. That's a reflection of the work you're doing.
Oh, great. Well, thank you. So we just have a couple more minutes. What can readers expect diving in? What kind of readers are you hoping for?
Well, you know, my book is about in the first chapter or so, I identify what I see as one of the root causes of why we've gotten so off course as humans. And the remainder of the book is really about why nature spirituality really helps reconnect us and relights our cauldron and relights our, you know, not just for ourselves, to help us heal ourselves by that, by having that deepened connection with nature, but also by those practices like ancestor worship, energy healing, healing with herbs, divination.
Right. And you even get into like permaculture and sustainability.
Because that's the next step. That's where we have to change, because that's the bottom line, is this, with through really connecting through nature, it's made me realize we have to evolve. We have to move in a different way. And the people that are doing that work are like creating community. Permaculture is a spiritual practice. It's like learning how to work with nature instead of against it. You know, like, okay, I have a problem on my land. How can I use this problem to help me? You know, and then the community is a big important part of it, because, you know, I think being disconnected, not just from nature, but from each other, you know, it's like not having people that really are our tribe, you know. So people that are creating things like intentional communities are ahead of the curve. I see that as the future.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, Reverend Wendy Van Allen, I'm really excited to say that Llewellyn is giving us a free copy of Relighting the Cauldron for one of our lucky viewers / listeners. We're both podcast, videocast, and on the radio. So who knows which one we'll hear or see and get it. But how can readers of your work reach you if they wanted to find you on social networks or whatever?
Thank you. Yeah. And readers are people that, you know, nature spirituality is really important to them, and nature itself. So it's not, you don't have to be a pagan or, you know, practice Afro-Caribbean tradition, but if it's something that speaks to your heart, great. www.soulblossomcenter.com is my website. Yes, they can find me through there. They can send me an email through my website. I will be at the Parliament of World Religions coming up in Chicago. I'll be doing a workshop there based on my book. And my book is available on Amazon, and, you know, I'm trying to get it in some local independent bookstores. So I hope some people are listening that are on that vibe.
Fantastic. Well, I sure thank you for your time, and can't wait to finish this. And we will be in touch.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I mean, it's great that people are reading my book, but it was written with the intention to like do something about our global climate change. So I really appreciate you reading it and getting the word out. And temperance is like, it's time to temper how we live.
Right. Balance and moderation, right?
Balance and moderation.
The perfect alchemy. Exactly. All right. Well, take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Next up, we've got some tarot card readings for you. Stay tuned.
This is Mystic Fix with Julia Gordon Bramer on News Talk STL. You're listening to Mystic Fix with Julia Gordon Bramer on News Talk STL.
Our spiritual journey tonight will begin.
Can't outrun your fate.
Let me tell you about you.
I know who you are, what you are, and why you have come.
Take a good look at these cards, young man. They contain all the secrets of the universe.
What does it say?
This is Kristen.
Hi, Kristen. It's Julia from Mystic Fix. Do you have a question for me?
I do. I would like to know, where is my career path leading me? How can I achieve work family life balance?
Oh, big questions. I'm still working on that one myself. All right. Let's take a look here. Okay. There are a number of changes ahead for you. And, you know, I think you were very key when you asked about family work life balance, because I'm seeing you don't have it. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. You start with the Nine of Cups, which is a card that just basically says you are essentially a happy person. However, we've got the Seven of Swords in reverse, which does feel like you're being exploited a little bit. Maybe your work is taking too much time from your personal life. You feel possibly that you're being taken advantage of. you are showing sooner rather than later, I mean like within the next few months, leaving. I've got the Two of Wands in reverse, and this tends to be a leaving or a separation, usually not personal, not from your husband, but from what you're doing, or at least the way you're doing it. Now, you've got a King of Cups in reverse at the top of this, and this is our Lover King. And so it is just telling me there is a lot of pressure on your husband right now. And the Empress in reverse is you. Now, this may be you showing up as a mother and feeling kind of overtaxed, overwhelmed, or I'll let you decide which way to read this, or maybe it's both, because mothers create. She's also very creative. And when the Empress is in reverse, she's not creating. So I would say that there's definitely unused creative energy around you that should be a career direction that you'll be feeling more fulfilled. The Fool in reverse is showing that the way you're doing it now, it doesn't feel good. It feels like you may have regret. It feels like you are on the wrong path. And you just have this double kind of advice with the Eight of Swords in reverse to set yourself free from the cage. You just show to be incredibly restricted, Kristen. And I feel like there's all this beautiful creative energy you're not using, and you're not happy, your family's not happy, and so the energy's bad overall, you know? It's kind of like in the Bible where they say, as you sow, so you shall reap, and the seed you're sowing here is negative energy. It does not feel good. You may be resenting your work. You may be resenting how your life is set up. And that is not going to produce for you. So I'm sure we could talk for another hour getting you directions, but I do have to leave it there and get on to my next call. But I really do think that you are not meant to stay where you are. And I want you to follow your heart more instead of this feeling of obligation. Okay?
Oh, that makes sense. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Tracy, hi, it's Julia from Mystic Fix. Do you have a question for me?
I do, Julie. My question is, which patterns or beliefs do I need to release?
Oh, okay. So you sound like you're already doing some spiritual work. And
yes, I actually have been for the past year and a half or so.
Great. Let's see what I see here. All right. So your core issue is the Seven of Swords in reverse, which is victim feeling, you know, feeling victimized. It is can be taken advantage of. I just saw it for the previous caller, in fact. Understand, we are all making choices in our life, and we are all doing a dance with the people around us and the decisions we make. I'm not saying that, you know, when someone has been victimized, of course, it's a terrible thing, and it depends how someone is victimized. But own that it happened and do everything energetically to correct that from ever happening again and move along. Like, don't let it define you. Too many people these days are completely defined by the victim label, and it does nothing to serve you. Interestingly, you've got a King of Cups in reverse and an Empress in reverse. This is like mother and father energy. And when it's in reverse, it does feel problematic. So we're all carrying baggage from our parents. I mean, it's just part of life, right? But but I do see more healing that needs to be done for you around that. I've got the Nine of Cups, which tells me that essentially as you're going forward, you know, Tracy, you are basically a happy person, and it is encouraging you to focus more on gratitude. What you put your mind on grows. So the more that you are content with, the more that you recognize is a blessing, you're going to bring more of that to you. Finally, for you, as a piece of advice, you have the Two of Wands in reverse, which is saying, cut the dead wood. Let go of the negative energy. If you have friends that are kind of bringing you down, if you are in a place that is just very negative, you need to release yourself from that. You need to separate and understand that as we grow, sometimes we move to a higher level and we can't always take everyone with us. So it can be painful. People might think you're stuck up or weird or whatever, but you do have to grow and you have to kind of choose your crowd. It's really true that birds of a feather do flock together, and I just see you moving beyond and releasing some people in this next year.
Oh, well, thank you. That I can see where that all relates to my life.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Tracy. Have a great day.
Hi, this is Dan. Really just I don't know. I'm very, very spiritual and believe in this kind of thing. So it usually just takes me where it needs.
Okay, so just see what I see for you then. All right.
Yeah, if you could.
Okay, let me kind of tune in here. So I'm looking at the year ahead for you, Dan, and we start with the Seven of Pentacles, which is basically a card of hard work. It's sowing the seeds for the future. You've been doing everything right. You know, you just look kind of secure as far as the job and financial picture. You do have the Ace of Wands in reverse, which is a bit of boredom. So understand we are in charge of keeping our lives interesting, you know. Wands tend to have a lot of natural creative energy, and so I would encourage you, use your creativity, use your imagination. There's just a lot that does not seem to be tapped for you from that well. In the next 1 to 3 months, I am seeing you feeling like you're in a big struggle. It's the Five of Swords in reverse, and sometimes this feels like a fight that we are not winning. I do believe that everybody is making choices to learn the lessons that they're meant to learn. We can't win everything that we attempt. But you do look like it's an especially challenging, you know, I'd say summertime for you. However, your top card, Dan, is the Nine of Pentacles. And this is a card of someone who's basically happy, who says, I like my life. And everything kind of is in place. Everything feels like a blessing. So I really love how your energy goes. You know, basically, you are definitely in a place of feeling content and a happy individual in general. Now, you have a King of Pentacles in reverse in the next 6 months. And is your father still alive? This feels to me like your father's energy.
We don't talk.
Yeah, so that's the problem. He's in reverse. He can be a jerk. He can be selfish. He can be bossy. He can be difficult. I do feel in the next 6 months you have some issue with him. Now, it may be that you're just trying to heal something personally. I had a difficult father, and when I did my own healing work, it didn't involve him at all. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to subject yourself to being mistreated or anything. I will say that feeling when I was talking about the Five of Swords in reverse and you feeling beat up or helpless or, you know, in struggle, it is opposite this father card. So it may be that he taught you some painful lessons and you're still carrying some baggage. I think the next 6 months are going to be a focus on healing around your father. So as we go forward, you've got the Knight of Wands in reverse. This is just telling me that your energy is kind of erratic. I would like you know, that old expression, slow and steady wins the race. It seems to me that sometimes you're really intense and sometimes you're not doing things at all. And so I think it would be good for you to just have more of a program, just kind of a regular routine. And then your last card here, sort of to finish out the year, is the Five of Cups in reverse. And if we have to see this card, it's good to see it in reverse because it's a healing. It's just saying this is a year for you. I think it's going to be an important year for you of healing. And when I say this year, I'm not just talking about 2023. I'm talking about from now to this time next year. Okay. So you are facing some stuff, a lot of it around your dad and dad issues, I think. All right.
If you like what I do, and if you'd like to learn more about how to read tarot cards and what it's like to be a professional tarot card reader, and if you want to get some of the juicy stories that I've encountered in this interesting life of mine, you're going to want to check out my forthcoming book, Tarot Life Lessons. It's all the stories
from my journals of what it's like to be a tarot card reader. My publisher is Destiny Books. It will be released November 7th, 2023, but you can pre-order it now on Amazon.com. Before we go, I want to thank our sponsor, CommaFlight. Have you seen CommaFlight online yet? On Instagram, they have all of these videos. It's at CammaFlight. CommaFlight is done with partners, and the idea is it's a balance of the masculine and the feminine. So one person is at the base as a support, usually the masculine energy, and then the feminine is the voyager. And this is a combination of acro yoga, watsu, Thai massage. The feminine energy rides on the body underneath. It is a beautiful dance, and it's a healing experience that is said to erase trauma, fears, and things that limit physical vitality. The ride leads to progressively relax the body, reduce resistance, enhance trust, and it leads to euphoric exploration. So check it out. See what I'm talking about. And if you are interested, there are workshops throughout the year at the Cho Zen Retreat Center in Sebastian, Florida. Once again, CammaFlight, CammaFlight. Thank you. We'll see you next week.
This is Mystic Fix with Julia Gordon-Bramer on News Talk STL.